name is Ann Rolfe, and you can, I'm married to my husband, Dave Rolfe. I don't always like people to see me because I love to hear people's comments when they don't know who I am. It's quite fun. I want to give you a picture of the format and the vision for this 7 weeks. Well, we know the 23rd Psalm. How many have heard of the 23rd Psalm? Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Very popular, very well known, written by David, who was a shepherd. Are you guys a little warm in here? Are some of you fanning? If we can. Okay. We have a 7 week series that's starting tonight. And I'm teaching this time, and we have four other teachers. And each teacher is called to their specific section. And this is just a precious, precious psalm. And for me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Dave said when he was helping us put this all together, which I really thank you, he said, choose the one that you have the biggest problem with. Okay. Am I by myself? We disguise want. Want is a very deep emotion. Before we get in there, into the main teaching, I want to just pray for us. Lord, we do come before you, and we call you Lord, our shepherd. We shall not want. It's a choice, and you help us in that choice. Father, be our shepherd. Some of us are in valleys. Some of us need still waters. Some of us just need to rest in green meadows. Some of us are in the valley. And some of us have fear. And some of us are being disciplined. And some of us, you're anointing our head. Father, for each of us in each place that we're at, would you minister to each woman tonight? Would you help them begin the journey of diving more into knowing what a good shepherd you are? We commit tonight to you, and we commit our hearts to you. Search our hearts, Lord. See if there's anything wicked in us that needs to be readjusted, taken out, whatever. In Jesus' name, amen. The way the evenings will go is you'll get like generally 15 to 20 minutes when you get here to socialize, get to know people. Because when we have this Bible and we're working things out in our life, it helps to have a friend. Do I get an amen there? You guys get that? It's not always easy to take some of these scriptures and put them into our life. Having somebody walk alongside you, somebody that's been further down the road, somebody that'll commit to pray for you, somebody that'll help love you through this difficult time, that's why we need the sisterhood. I was going to sing We Are Family, but I haven't got the voice. That is not my gift. So that's how the evening will start, and then we'll go into worship, and then we'll have teaching, and then we break into groups. And this Bible study is in a fellowship style right now that I just feel led to do at this point. I love going through the Bible inductively in the different ways we have. But I just feel like the times we're living in right now, that it's a time to struggle through some of those heart issues. And the questions, those three questions that you have at the end of the teaching where you get to discuss, they're not really hard questions, but they open you up a bit. And when we open ourselves up to each other and to the Lord, we find things happen. We find change happens. We find friends. And we find growth. So as I start this, we're going to be in Psalm 23, but you don't need to turn there because I've got it memorized, my part. Can you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the key word in there? We have ownership. What's the ownership in that first part? The Lord is? So he's personal, right? When your life feels kind of crazy and messed up and just not going so good, does he always seem like my shepherd? Do you think sometimes he's turned his head maybe? Do you ever wonder? Honestly?
Yes.
Me too. Me too. The Lord is my shepherd. And then the next part of it is, I shall not want. It's not I will not want, I won't want. It's a choice. Because our God is so gracious, he gives us choice. I shall not want. You see the difference? I have a choice here. I shall not want. So the Lord is mine, and now I get this choice to walk with this shepherd who's mine and not want. And want takes many forms. Anybody ever had an angry outburst? Okay. Anybody ever been jealous? Anybody ever want? Anybody ever, let's see, what else goes with that? Been bitter? Anybody ever feel they're treated unfair? Anybody knows how they could fix somebody in their family if they would listen? Anybody know that one? Kind of want that, don't you? Especially when they're close to you, like a husband or something. And some of you may be single and wanting a husband. Well, enjoy the dating part, ladies, whoever you are. Want. I'm going to take you on a field trip of want. You can close your eyes. You can write down some of the things. But I'm going to let you, your mind go where you always try to not let it go. We're on a want field trip. You're in a destination. You just got on an airplane and you're in any destination you want to be in the world. And you get there and you have this little gold card that says you can shop anywhere you want. Any purse, any shoes, any hat, any dress, any jeans. And not only that, you look great in everything. Okay. On your want journey, at your destination, you have your best foods, the best dessert you ever had, your best main dishes, and guess what? The calories absolutely don't count. In this want world, somebody gets sick. You wish they weren't want. Wish they weren't sick, and they're not. In this want world, difficult things happen, and you can wish them away. A car accident. A dashed dream. A job that you didn't get. You can have it. The marriage that didn't quite work out. You can have it. Did you get those choices in your life? The want that is at the bottom of our hearts, that drives us, that separates us from God. Because we can laugh about, you know, the clothes and everything. We all do like that, and we all strive for that. And that's why there's so many magazines with, you know, how to look good. How to look good after 30. How to look good after 40. Where to go for plastic surgery after 50. That's the world we live in. But it doesn't last. And then those wants that are so hard, that you've prayed for so long, and they seem so right. Wanting your children to walk with the Lord. Wanting your spouse to walk with the Lord. Wanting a better marriage. Wanting that family that you didn't have when you grew up. Those seem like good wants. And when we don't get them, that's when life gets difficult, because taste and see that the Lord is good. Ask in my name and it will be given to you. Well, I want. I saw a car accident on the way here on El Toro. My son had just left 2 minutes ago. I'm looking, driving slow. Was it him? I wanted it not to be him. I didn't want it to be anybody, but I didn't want it to be him. You see, these heartstrings we have as mothers, as women, we have strong wants. We want to protect people. We want to control people. Am I only one there too? And it's difficult. How many of you guys wanted to protect your kids all the way through, like, turning 20, you know? I mean, if there could have been some kind of device you could have put on their head and they would have just listened to everything you said, and it would have been great. And the tragedy you go through with people's choices, you want them to choose differently. But see, God has us here, and he has those wants that we want, the healing, the different things that we really want that are good, and he has us in them. Do you understand what that means? He has us in these because he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd does not look like my wants. If that had been my son laying on the sidewalk, he's still the good shepherd, but it honestly doesn't always feel like the good shepherd. It's scary. But he's still good. How do we reconcile our shepherd and the things that have not met us where we thought they should? The things didn't happen the way we wanted them to. How do we reconcile that? Because you know what? I've talked to more people, men and women, throughout the years, and the main thing that has taken them out, even some people before they even got to be 22 or whatever, they grew up as a Christian, their sister died, and they prayed. They could not reconcile the fact that God is God and really crappy, bad stuff happens. Ugly stuff, painful stuff. And where do they go? They get mad at God because that's our normal response. When things don't go right, we get bugged. I do. I really do. Oh, I'm not fun with me. I don't even like being with me sometimes because I get so frustrated over some things that I really want, that I've really prayed for. And I have my own little baby tantrum hissy fit. I don't actually, you know, do my feet and stamp, but my head, it ain't pretty. So I understand the reconciliation. And that's where you guys come in. Whether this is your church on Sundays or you go to another church or wherever you fellowship at the grocery stores, how can you encourage some woman that wants to give up on God or gave up on him a long time ago? How do you do that? Well, we have choices. And our wants in our life, one of the things that is not a question that I want you to think about this week, when you have things that are in your life that dominate your mind, you go to bed, you wake up with it, you want it controlled, what is at the base of it? Is it want? And then when you find out what's at the base of it, would you gently give it over to him and give it over to him and give it over to him and give it over to him? Because that's our only thing we can do. He understands our wants. But when we allow Satan to disfigure our Jesus by saying he's not good, he's not precious, he's not there for you, he won't see you through it, can you trust him? That's when you have the trouble. That's when things get all messed up. Because your God is a good God, and he paid a price for you. He died on the cross for you. He became human. He became one of these little babies that we have in the back. He became a baby. He became human, born in a stable. He became sin. He was spit upon. Everything you would not want for your child, he had happened to him. And everybody he hung out with, you wouldn't want your child to hang out with. And he did it all to prove that he is that good shepherd. He is that good God. May he meet us, ladies. May he take us by the hand. Our shepherd takes us. He leads us through that valley. He takes us. in my life, I mess up kind of. I just have this natural ability to do things and forget things. And one day, I'm going to lighten things up for you. One day, back 25, 22 years ago, my kids were like 3 and 5 or something. I went to the car, and it looked like somebody had been murdered in my car. There was like a brown, red splattered all over my car, on the outside of the car. Whatever happened, it blew up all over. And the kids and I were going to get in the car, and I go, kids, go in the house, go watch Snoopy, whatever your fun show was back then, Bad News Bears. Anyways, I thought, oh, I got to call the police. But then this other little voice said, wait to call the police. Okay, what do I do? He goes, just open the car. Just open the car. So I go, and I open the car, and I open the door, and there's a strange smell in my car. It's the smell of spray can paint. You see, I had red and green paint in there. It was 92 degrees. It was my husband's car. It was his first nice car. It was a charcoal gray, sparkly, you know, finished Camaro. With upholstery, not the vinyl stuff. I smelled it, and then I remembered, Anne, get the paint cans out of the car because it's so hot they could explode. And then I said, honey, well, remind me when I get home because, you know, I forget. So when this happened, I worked because this is what I do when I mess up. It's an I Love Lucy episode every so often at my house. I decided I would, you know, use paint thinner. Well, it's 90 degrees, and we had a table that my husband was refinishing inside the garage, so I couldn't put the car in the garage, so I got this 90-degree hot weather. It's got that slope back with the glass in it, and, you know, I'm trying to get, and the heat is just like 92 degrees. So paint thinner's not working, so I call my dad and go, Dad, what do I do? Dave's not home. We got about 4 or 5 hours. What can we do? And he says, I'll be there. My dad was there for me. Woo! Okay. My dad gets there. He's got like 6 bottles, the bottles with the top, like you do ketchup or something. There's a little squeezer thing. And we're squeezing lacquer thinner now all over everything. Well, that gives a smell too. But it's not working too well. So I figure I got to call Dave. So I say, Dave, hey, anybody in your office right now? He goes, yeah. I go, you got a second though? I go, Dave, I forgive you. He goes, for what? Well, you forgot to remind me about the paint cans. And he just went, oh, no. It was like, oh. It was horrible. So he goes, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Well, did I leave it alone?
No.
I felt so bad. I felt really guilty. I didn't want him to see it. So I keep working on it. And we're getting somewhere a little bit. The carpet was crispy for the rest of the time we had the carpet, though. So he says, he comes home, and he goes, you're not using lacquer thinner, are you? Because the finish on the outside's lacquer. Oh, yeah, Dave, I've been using lacquer thinner. He just walks in the house. As he goes to the house, he has to go through the garage. And either my dad or myself left one of those little squirt bottles on the table that he just refinished with the 8 finishes on it, going for the 9th and going to go in the house. It was a yellow, ugly, gross table, and now it's all, you know, bare wood, gorgeous, 8th coat, ready to go of lacquer. Well, what do you think lacquer thinner does to a table? Now there's a circle there. He sees it. He goes, I'm going in the house. Don't talk to me. Okay. We think we can get ourselves out of our messes. Am I alone? You see, my shepherd wants to guide me. He wants to take me. And he wants to teach me. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians 4:11, we're going to get to the main part of our text. Thank you. This is what Paul learned about want. And Paul, he was a pretty amazing guy, a guy who was a Pharisee, who was rich, powerful, had many people underneath him. And he goes, he's persecuting Christians, putting them in jail, killing them. And on his journey, he runs into someone on the road to Emmaus. His name was Jesus. He stopped dead in his tracks, and he realized that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, Paul was alive at the time Jesus died on the cross. Paul was fighting him. Paul was there when the disciples were following Jesus. Paul witnessed it. And now all of a sudden, he has this experience of seeing Jesus face to face. And Jesus speaks to him. And he does what he says. And he's never the same. Paul is a man devoted to Jesus with every ounce of his body, with every ounce of his heart and spirit. So as he writes this, he's hungry. And the Philippian church has just given him an offering. And it came kind of just in the nick of time. And in verse 11, we see, "Not that I speak in regard to need," he's thanking them at this point, "for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased," that means not much, "and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Okay, the trick to contentment is realizing you don't have it and then learning it. And that's where your journey begins. By owning up to the fact that there's some things you want that may be getting in the way and learning it. I choose to be content. Like you choose, the Lord is your shepherd, you can choose contentment. You can choose to have people around you that encourage you in contentment. I am a half full girl. That's why I chose this passage. I always see how things could be done differently. I'm just always kind of, I'm a critical nature. And you know what? It's not fun in my head. I'm not thankful like I need to be. I try to be thankful. I'll write down what I'm thankful for, and then I just walk away. But I read a book as I was doing this called 1,000 Gifts. Have any of you guys heard of 1,000 Gifts? It was written by a woman who had a horrific life. Her little sister at like 18 months is killed right before her eyes run over, and the parents are holding this little baby, and blood's all over the house, and the mom and dad are just weeping, and she dies in their arms, and that's what she remembers. And dad never goes back to church. The mom ends up in a mental hospital on and off from all this pain. It happened in a farm in like Minnesota or somewhere, and her life just is really a mess. She doesn't even have a mom half the time, and she goes through, she gets married and she has kids, and she goes through depression. She goes through anxiety. And she's going through all these difficult times. And this friend of hers dares her, write 1,000 things that you're thankful for. She took her up on it. It was simple things like the way the light hit the tree, the way dough feels when you're kneading it, the smell of baked bread, the sunshine on your back on a colder day, smile of a friend. It changed her life. We don't always need those big things that we want. Sometimes it's just the little things that are right where we are. And it took her back to the feet of her Jesus. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, before he died, he had this thing called the Last Supper. And he gave thanks and he broke bread. He gave thanks before he went to the cross. May we work thankfulness into our lives. Ladies, I'm just going to give you a few. I want to give you some things to walk through to help you walk in contentment. You realize that verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Want is natural. Contentment, not. It can be learned. But the way it's learned is through Christ who strengthens me and you. That's why we can't be at odds with him. Because he strengthens us. Okay, I got a couple questions. Will you allow God to search your heart in the area of want this week? That's one way. Can you choose to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding and just acknowledge him as you move, as you go through life? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do you believe that? If you acknowledge him and you move forward, you will find that to happen. When chaos comes up, stop, breathe, ask the Lord for help. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. How do you want me to walk here? If he doesn't show you for a while, just get his peace and just don't do anything. We tend to think we've got to do something right now. We've got to fix things. No. Let him show you, and let him show you the pace that he has. Make choices this week. Think about conversations you hear. Think about your own heart. Think about how many times you want something. Maybe start a journal of your own. 1,000 thank yous. Maybe you choose not to go to the grocery store when you come home. See how long you can go with creative and not going to the grocery store this week. Maybe you'll borrow something, meet a friend, meet a neighbor. Maybe you give up always looking at your cell phone for maybe 5 hours, and everybody's maybe ticked at you, but you go, hey, no, I was waiting. I was doing something the Lord showed me to do. Maybe you give up Starbucks for a little bit. I don't know. But you know what? When we discipline our physical body with want, it helps our spiritual body. Allow people to be honest with you. Allow your friends in on your journey. And remember, I have learned in fullness and emptiness, as Paul said. So either way, those deep wants that we didn't laugh about, we can learn. And we can receive grace. Because, you know, in those wants we didn't get met, we're a different person. Each of you that has had some difficult, painful times would not be who you are or where you'll be even a year from now because of those. But those times can make us turn bitter or they can make us turn joyous as we rest in him. Your shepherd leads you. Be patient and stay behind him. Let him lead you. Okay, I'm going to have the guys come out. Christina? Oh, you guys don't want me to sing. Oh, there you are. Can you do the You Are Good, just the main part, the part we know really well? Whatever you call that. I'm so good at worship. Thank you, ladies. And then in a few minutes, you guys are just going to turn around and just introduce yourself and then go over the questions on the back. Oh, I forgot to go over something real quick. I do forget things. Okay. On the back, we have a week one, just some simple things you can think about to deal with want, get you through the week. This stays in your Bible. You can fold it up, put it in your purse. And then we have a few challenge questions if you want to even go deeper. But this is going to take you through the week because this is living it. All right. Thanks, guys.